Mr. Gibson, Reel 2, we'd come to the point where in mid to late October you'd moved to Leslie, which is not that far from Kirkcaldy. And where were you billeted there? Can you remember your billets?
If I was billeted, that's in the key store, because we actually lived there and worked there.
And where were the key stores then?
It was the old labour exchange in Leslie.
And what was life like as a daily routine there? I mean, do you remember what a typical day would be like?
Just an ordinary working admin day. I had to get all these jobs done and you did them.
So?
A job, I quite use these things and it's my normal bread and butter.
You couldn't tell us a bit more about it? Because what's usual to you isn't usual to people in 50 years, if you see what I mean.
I was simply dealing with people coming in looking for things and getting them out to them and keeping regulations up to date, because there was loads of them, because when you're a new unit has been formed, you've got the various copies of all the things with about 3,000 amendments. And they had to be done. So you very often at the stage were on an amendment, but you already amended, but that's the way it went.
What sort of office equipment did you have? Because
typewriter. That's about it.
Could you type?
Well, yes.
Had you learned then, or did you learn in the army?
No, I'd actually taken at night school.
And what about all this carbon business and things? It seems foreign now. I mean, the use of carbon papers.
Well,
carbon
paper. Yes, I suppose they're unknown now, but. That was just life. I mean, you knew that you had a sheet of paper and carbon paper for copies.
Did you have to use duplicating machines to Ronio off things, or Ronios might be a modern word, but to...
No, such thing was done in the orderly room.
Which is a separate thing again.
Yes, it's in the administration office.
Now, as a queue staff, did you have to do any training while you were at Leslie?
Very little. I was too busy.
How did you feel about that?
I didn't care very much. I was doing the job and I had to go and do the train now and again. But I felt I was doing quite a good job at the time and I was quite happy with it.
And how were you settling down to the army lifestyle? You know, lack of privacy, discipline, things like that.
Well, no, we were rather a most unusual outfit to fight for the army. Because we practically all knew each other. So it wasn't like being in a foreign place and you being the only one. So we all knew each other. We all walked out together. We all played football together. And of course, you have to accept discipline. It doesn't work any other way.
Now, anything happened while you were at Leslie that you recall? Because, again, you weren't there that long before in January you went off to Aldershot. But anything happened at Leslie?
Yeah, we had a paratrooper scare.
Tell me about that.
Well, this paratrooper scare was announced. And they suddenly found they had no ammunition. So I was dispatched to go couple of trucks to the ordnance depot at Stirling to pick up ammunition to counteract the so-called air invasion, only to find the place shut. We had to wait till it opened and get back with our ammunition.
But wouldn't that be a bit late?
Well, it was a bit late. And that's when you see, you know, the army's absolutely bloody useless. They couldn't organise anything.
So that was something that...
That was about the only thing that...
Now, what about the move to Aldershot? Would you be big involved in that, in the queue?
I went on the advance party with the RQMS.
What would the advance party do?
Well, we took over the barracks at Aldershot, all the equipment, to make sure we got everything.
And that would be Bowman Barracks, wouldn't it?
Oh, sorry.
And were there any problems in the takeover or getting the...
We lost a tank one day.
How did you manage that?
I find it being towed away by something with a scrap lorry, which it was probably all it was worth, but we've taken it over, and Teddy said we're a tank short here.
When was that? That was...
That was just when we went down in the first couple of days.
And so who'd towed it away?
This was a scrap merchant who probably thought he'd found something for his scrap unit.
Where'd he picked it up from?
The barracks.
Had he basically stolen it?
Well, you might say that, I suppose.
And did they get it back?
Oh, we got it back, yes.
And that would be a Mark 6, would it?
A Mark 6.
Mark 6B or...
Yep.
And... does that say something about the state of the tanks you had, by any chance?
Well,
they could be towed off as scrap without anyone...
They were in a pretty poor condition. I mean, Mark 6B, I mean.
Could you describe the Mark 6B? Because they're not a well... Or would you not have much... They're not a well-known tank now.
They were known locally as Heinz Beans tanks.
Why?
Well, they did absolutely nothing, really. You know, just really like tanks with a machine gun on, that's all it had.
So what they look, they had tracks.
Oh, they had tracks.
But to us, they'd be more like their armament, and armour would be more like an armoured car. What we'd think of now as an armoured car, except it wasn't a car. It was
yes,
a tank.
They were probably on par later on with the Bren gun carrier that came out, which was. In fact, the Browning carrier was probably a better vehicle than the Mark 6B.
You were getting Browning carriers, or was that later?
Later on.
No. So you didn't? Did you have? Did you get a chance to drive or form part in training? Were you ever put on the Mark 6B at that point?
No, I did not drive at that time.
So your opinion of the tank was just as from outside looking at it.
Being of the tank, I thought, God, have I got to go with that? Said that we were going to fight the Germans, but...
Did you have any sort of awareness of what German tanks were like? Because they weren't like Tiger tanks then, but their tanks in 1939-40 were a lot better.
Seen pictures in news sales and compared with these things, it was like David and Goliath.
Now, while they were there, Bowman Barracks, one story that's got round, and it's even in cellars, is that a tank was found in the coal shed, buried under the coal, which some previous unit had left. Were you aware of that at all?
No, I was, but I wouldn't be at all surprised.
Now, what were living conditions like for you in the barracks? You in weren't
the
there.
Dark.
Yeah, you weren't there long. I know
no,
that. But
well, living conditions in Aldershot was really pretty grim because it was probably the coldest year for I don't know how long, and the place was frozen solid. The ablutions were frozen up, the toilets were frozen up.
And what about heating? Was it stoves or
non-existent? Well, yes, there was stove, but. It was so cold that we were glad to move a bit.
How did you like being in a military town? Because I don't know whether you went out much, but the red caps and things like that are rather more strict than perhaps you were used to. How did you find that in Aldershot?
Well, I didn't particularly like it very well, but you just accept it. I think you've got to.
Did you go out into Aldershot?
Oh, yes.
Did you drink at the time?
Very occasionally. One could have had that on 6 pot.
But you weren't teetotal?
Oh, no. I mean, used to first of all, the local season.
So, you'd be as likely to go to the theatre as the pub, then?
Oh, yes. As far as I involved in Ireland about when they were more interested in that.
What about cinema?
Oh, yes, the cinema was always.
So it was that side of things. Well, and
for me, you think the cinemas, etc., were very cheap, so you could manage.
And the next move would be out to Farnham. Were you in Farnham or in the village just outside?
I was in Farnham.
And what about your accommodation there?
Well, I stationed in RHQ itself, which was a big house. I think they called it Castle House. I'm not finished yet. I think it was Castle House. And the orderly room staff and the queue staff was in and the officer were all in that area. And I liked Farnham very, very much.
Why was that?
Oh, it's a beautiful place. When you went on and you were off, you could walk. It's beautiful. Plus the fact that you could not have had a better reception from the locals.
What was so good about it?
Well, they opened up a special canteen for us.
What did that offer?
I thought, oh well, it helped your inner self. Plus the fact that you may not be aware, but in those days, everybody was very interested in the sort of music of the time from America. They had a big record player in this place that used to sit down there and listen to Bing Crosby and all these people. And it was a wonderful place. We enjoyed it so much that when we left there, we purchased a clock. And the last time I was down in Farnham, it was still there.
Now, one thing was that just looking at the cellars, it mentions that Auchinleck, quite a well-known person, came to inspect the regiment, and that with particular reference to personnel and equipment. Would that involve you a lot, preparing for an inspection by someone like him, or do you not remember?
Well, no, because I only got the stuff up for the squadrons, and they then prepared it for such inspection.
There were new vehicles coming in. Would you start getting the Bren carriers there?
I think that's when the Bren carriers came in.
Now, what did you think of the Bren carriers? Because, again, from outside, but you've already said you thought they might be better than 6Bs.
Yes, I think they were quite useful. It's funny you should mention that, because I just noticed that the local paper last week had a picture of an old Bren carrier that you'd dig up from somewhere.
I mean, well, they were a utility vehicle.
A utility vehicle.
I mean, would you ever use them for carrying stores, or no, would that always be lorries?
It was purely personnel.
Now, anything else about you? Again, you weren't there that long before in June you went to Northern Ireland. Anything else about your time at Farnham?
No, except that I enjoyed it.
It was a good place.
Yeah, it was a great place.
Now, what about the journey out to Dungannon? Because that's a heck of a journey.
Yes, but I know. You just accept these things. You can't expect first-class carriage. You're lucky to get there at all. And I enjoyed Northern Ireland again. I still think it was one of the finest places we ever were in.
Where were you billeted at Dungannon headquarters company?
In the square. The queue's offices and the stores, and we had a place we slept here as well, all in the square at Dungannon.
And was it a comfortable billet?
Oh, yes.
And what about the local population at Dungannon? Was there any sign of the troubles is a more modern thing, but there were political and nationalistic problems.
We were in Dungannon, there was absolutely nothing.
What sort of duties were you on at Dungannon? You'd be just in the stores still.
I was still in the queue at that
time. Were you aware of the outside role of the regiment? I mean, they were there possibly in case the Germans invaded through air.
Well, we read in the local press, which we thought was quite funny, that the British were massing armour on the Irish border, and we knew what we had. Most of the tanks didn't go anyway. So we thought it was quite a joke.
So, what about exercise? They did a lot of exercises there. Would you as Q be involved in exercises in sort of doing the sort of queue side of it?
No, not really.
there was a bit of a hoo-ha over Christmas because you were moved to Bessbrook. What do you remember of that? Because the hoo-ha was that the Duncannon people had organised all these dues. Do you remember any of that?
I remember it so very, very well indeed. We were in Duncannon and we didn't want to go. But we went to Bessbrook. But the Bessbrook people laid on transport to bring us back. Because they'd all had people arranged for Christmas, etc.
And did you go back?
Yes.
And what was it like, Christmas? And
it was wonderful. We had a... By this time we had a small concert party. And we came back.
Were you in the concert party? What did you... Tell me about the concert party.
Oh, the concert party. The concert party was run by a fellow called Clark, whose father was a professional entertainer. And we sort of took over with him. It was a wonderful time.
And what did the party consist of?
Just a normal concert party, singers and dancers and comedians.
How many people?
Oh, probably all came up in the same time morning. So probably about 12, 15 times.
And they'd all be front of stage, or would you share? Because, you know, there's a lot of duties, back duties of preparing, I think, costumes and things.
These were all stage people.
And the stage people would do their own back things, would they? Prepare their own costumes and everything? Or would you have other people who did?
Well, yes, you just improvise. As best you could.
And were they any good?
We thought they were marvellous.
And what did you do?
What, this... you went to Northern Ireland. They have a peculiar accent in Northern Ireland. And you get these young boys literally coming up saying to you, Annie Buttons. You're looking for buttons, you know. So this is what we call the concert party, Annie Buttons. Now we did sketches and things like this. Clark used to write them because he was brilliant.
And you obviously enjoyed that. Would you put on shows for the lads?
Yes, we did it for the lads, and we also went by one or two of the places when we were in Bengala for the civilians.
And how long did this continue from then on until you went to France? The concert party?
Well, it continued to Bessbrook, and it also continued when we came back to the UK again. But then... Yes.
It faded away then?
It did, because what happened, we were in Chippenham. And what happened was that each squadron had their own...
We'll come back to that. That'll be good, because I remember someone telling me about that. Okay, so the concert party. Anything else about your time in Bessbrook then? Because for you, life is pretty routine, so there's no point in dragging this out. Any incidents or
what I found about Bessbrook was that I have never... It's a lovely little village. Don't get me wrong, it's a Quaker village. Beautiful. But I've never met such bigotry in all my life.
In what way?
Well, let me put it this way, that when we were in Bessbrook, Lord Baden Powell, Chief Scout, died, and they had on the Sunday they had a special service in the church. Lord Baden Powell and quite a few of us ex-scouts, we all went there, and we met local people. We got invited back for tea the same night. Now, I got to know a family very, very well, a family called Smith, and I just about lived there. And I went in one day, and I thought, things are very chilly in here. So I said to the lady, have I done something to offend you? Because I'd hate to think I'd done it. She said, well, I saw you speaking to Mrs. Black. And I said, yeah. Because one of my friends used to go to Mrs. Black. So what's wrong with that? They're Catholics. So what? I mean, just like you and I. So I said, and you know, I had quite a conversation with them to explain how things happened on the other side. I mean, we expect people to have spirit into their region. But you couldn't see that. And that's why I say today, it's no different. The situation hasn't improved one little bit. They still hate each other. And until we get rid of the people,
but that, this hadn't been apparent in Dungannon?
Not so much in Dungannon, because Dungannon was a town. See, Bestwick was a village, a very small village, and everybody knew everybody.
Now, you were there was a big change coming up when you left Bestbrook, because they went back to Whitby, but they also became an armoured regiment. Part of 29th Brigade, 29th Armoured Brigade, 11th Armoured Division. Now that was a big change, and how did it affect you when you went to Whitby?
Well, it affected me then, because that's when we were really getting stuff in for good mobilisation at that time, because up to then we got bits and pieces, but Whitby was the start, all the stores coming in, the big stores.
And what do you mean by big stores?
Well, we've got tanks, which we hadn't had before, decent tanks, armaments.
What tanks did you get?
That's when we had, what did we have there? We had Crusaders, we had Matildas.
Which did you get first? Or did you get them all together, mixed up?
Well, we were telling you, what happened when the new tank came up, they came out to 29th and we trained with them and experimented with them.
So which did you get first? I
can't remember which one came first. Probably the Crusaders, I think.
Now, what did you think of the Crusaders?
Well, good tank.
In what way?
It was a lightweight tank. It was no good to try and take one of Tiger. But see, I finished up, jumping a bit, but I finished up. I'm not finally, but second into Crusaders, because they became our crack tanks with Ellicans on them.
Well, so we'll come back to that perhaps for a more in-depth thing. But,
leading towards that.
Did you think, I mean, were the Crusaders regarded as a step forward, though?
Anything was a step forward from a 6B.
And what about the Valentines and Matildas?
Well, these were big tanks, but again, very poorly armed.
Would that be a two-pounder they had? Were you aware that that was just no good?
Oh, yeah, well, when you heard about the German EGA, you wonder. It's a one-sided fight, this is going to be.
And the Matilda?
It was much the same, it was slow, and again, poorly armed.
And were there any other big stores arriving? I mean, you know, it's obviously tanks.
Well, we came in, this is when the scout cars came in as well, the Daimler scout cars.
And what do you think of those?
Well, I was, by this time I had left Kew.
Now, when did you leave Kew?
Just after Whitby.
After Whitby, or in Whitby?
When Whitby, because what happened, that we were getting people coming up from the training regiments, and they were coming up with prospective jobs in view. And a fellow called George Arthur, he took over my job, and I went to scout cars.
Now, did you want to go to scout cars, or had you just lost your job?
Well, I'd been replaced. My son was coming in and said, I didn't care.
So you were posted to the
scout cars,
and that would be the reconnaissance troop, would it?
Yes, that's, well... Well, the post runner to the reconnaissance troop, because the reconnaissance troop eventually has honey tanks, of course. But the scout cars were the very small things that nipped in the night.
So at that stage, they were
reconnaissance, yes.
At that stage, they were the reconnaissance troop.
Yes.
And so you're still in HQ squadron?
That's on HQ.
And when you were posted to the reconnaissance troop, what was the organisation of it at the time? How big was it and who was running it?
Run by an officer and a sergeant.
And how many men, roughly?
Oh,
How many scout cars?
He must have had about a dozen scout cars, I think.
So quite a sizeable group.
Yeah, it wasn't big then.
And what was your officer? Who was your officer at the time?
I can't remember his name.
Was he any good?
I can't remember. I'll tell you, his nickname was Wicky Wacky.
Why was his nickname that?
I don't know. Somebody just...
Was he a good officer?
He wasn't bad.
Did he look after his men?
I think so, yes, he did.
And what about your NCOs?
I think they were all right, too.
But no characters stand out to you?
Not really.
Now, what about the... You were now going on to a scout car. Which scout car was it, then?
Well, we started with... Daimlers.
Could you give us a really, as much detail as you can, the nature of the Daimler, from top to bottom almost? What was it like?
Just an armed box with a pre-selective gearbox, which was very handy.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you selected your gear in advance. If you're running in second gear, you then put it in the third gear. Kicked it down and it changed up. In other words, it's the same as an automatic engine of today, very much the same.
But not this double declutching business.
No. This was actually automation.
And that was good.
Oh, absolutely.
And what other? What was the engine like?
Well, it was a very powerful Daimler engine, and it would go as quick forward as back. You can get the hell out of the place quite easy.
So you mean the surprising thing was it would go back as quickly as would go forward, yeah?
Jump in the reverse and away it went.
And was it reliable?
Yes.
Mechanically?
Oh, yes, we didn't have much trouble with them.
And what about inside the Daimler? How many crew were
Two.
There? So what were their jobs?
Well, one was just had a gun and the other one drove it.
So it was as simple as that. What gun did it have?
It just had I can't remember, it was just a small machine gun.
And that was it?
That was it. I mean, it was just to go somewhere, find out and get the hell back.